Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going with this series on astrology. Yesterday we talked about how they come up with these charts. How do they come up with these natal charts? How do they come up with these horoscopes? And we discussed how they look at the good and bad planets and how they intersect and move through the various houses as these houses line up with the 12 signs of the zodiac. All right, we discuss exactly what that looks like. Again, it's kind of like a big crystal ball that represents the celestial sphere. And inside that big ball is a little green marble, and that represents Earth. All the space that surrounds Earth inside this sphere is divided up into 12 30-degree houses. Sections, okay, 12 30-degree sections that astrologers call houses. And then wrapped around the celestial sphere is this white belt, and that is your constellations, your zodiac, okay? And then they look at how these planets move and intersect and interact going through the different houses. Again, these houses represent different areas of your life, right? And then they're able to come up with predictions, all right? And again, as we discussed yesterday, what you get from your horoscope, it almost seems like completely arbitrary, plucked from thin air. You could take anybody's horoscope for any day. You could grab the wrong sign from a horoscope 30 years ago and apply it to your life today, and it would be just as good as if somebody just came up with today's reading. Because it's all arbitrary, it's very elusive, and it's also written in a way that's very vague. In other words, you could pretty much, if you want, try to make it work. In hindsight, as you're looking at your day, you can think, oh, wow, it was true, because, boy, there's a lot of things that happen to you in a day, and you can usually find a way to make it work if you think real hard, right? One thing I didn't have time to mention yesterday, but I'll mention today. Traditionally, astrology is based on seven planets, okay? But then suddenly, we start discovering that there's other planets. Because, you know, astrology is based on these seven planets that you can see with the naked eye. But then we start getting telescopes, we start seeing farther into space, and we realize, huh, there's other planets. So now suddenly we have Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. All right, so now we have to come up with some more arbitrary, legendary meanings for these three new planets, right? So what does that say about all the previous astrological predictions of the past 4,000 years? So are we now more accurate because we know about the three new planets? But then science declares that Pluto is no longer a planet, so now we have to modify our astrological charts yet again. A lot of people refer to that as the problem of planets, of extra planets. And it is a problem, because again, this is played off as something that is very accurate, and yet we have all of these inconsistencies, no rhyme or reason, and a whole bunch of arbitrary rules that are just kind of slapped together and used to come up with these predictions. By the way, some of you are wondering where the supernatural component comes in, because everything I've talked about so far is just kind of math. You know, the stars over here and the stars over there. It passes through this section of the sky, so it must mean this and that. Well, astrologers also throw in something into the mix that they often refer to as intuition. I think it'd be more easily understood as your psychic abilities. What are your spirit guides telling you? Or perhaps some kind of psychic feeling that you get when you interpret somebody's chart. There's an interesting mix going on in astrology today. There is a camp that says there is no supernatural component. It's purely scientific. It's no different than, let's say, okay, the moon and how the moon affects the tides on Earth, okay? Or some planets have a gravitational pull that is felt on Earth in various ways. And so there's some kind of material scientific connection, all right? clearly natural connection between the planets and our lives. When you dig down deep in that, you realize that that's utter nonsense. There is absolutely no way in the world, or in the universe for that matter, that distant planets can have that much of an effect on all these various areas in your life. Okay? Other astrologers like to bring in the supernatural. And I think that even most of those who claim that it is purely material and natural still lean towards the supernatural. And that's where they're trying to build their, basically, I hate to say it, but their psychic ability, or their intuition, as they like to say, their ability to interpret the data that they see when they make these charts, when they look at the various planets passing through the different houses, and they're trying to chart out some kind of some horoscope or predictive material for you, okay? When they're trying to divine what's going on in your life. And so, you know, that's where the supernatural comes in. You know, and I guess this should be mentioned too, is that astrology is somewhat like a gateway drug, if you will, into deeper parts of the occult. And it just simply is. A lot of people, it starts with the dabbling of just horoscopes in the newspaper. Again, what in the world is a newspaper? But reading horoscopes on a website or whatever, okay? And suddenly, they're fascinated at just how much this astrologer knows all about them. And they really know all about me and my character. And they're telling me all these neat things about myself and giving me all my strengths. And now they start reading the horoscopes and they're thinking, wow, that just perfectly lined up with my day. All right. And then they progress down this path into the occult. They're looking for more power in this confusing and unsure world. All right. We live in a world where everybody wants more power over their life. And the using astrology is a perfect way to get into the world of the occult and learn different various tactics and ways to have more influence in the world around you. I'm not saying it works, although there are certainly occultic practices that work, but just because they work doesn't mean they're right. All right, there are demonic forces out there, according to the Bible, who clearly would love to do anything they can to lead us astray. All right, we had that woman that was following Paul around. And she was one who practiced divination. And she was really good at it. And she was very good at leading people astray. And, you know, we have instances throughout the Bible where demonic forces have the ability to empower people. And that's what we have here. Astrology, though, is kind of interesting in the sense that it is almost never right. Okay. So that's where I'm falling on this map as far as astrology goes. It's nearly 100% of the time wrong. You have a very arbitrary, almost just plucking of something out of the air, no pun intended, and just writing something down, okay, about somebody's supposedly how this particular person's day is going to go. All right. It's almost like they just make it up. And just like a clock that's broken is still right twice a day. Every once in a while, a horoscope turns out to be correct, or at least some semblance of correctness happens. Anyway, when you look at various websites on astrology, they like to claim that it does work. And there are many studies that have been done that appear like they're supporting astrology, that astrology has been tested and confirmed to be accurate. One of the most prominent ones that's brought up is this study that was done by a researcher, Mitchell Guaclin. And he did this study that is often referred to as the Mars effect, where he took a collection of about 2,088 sports champions, if you will, okay, great athletes in their various fields, and wanted to study when they were born and if there was some kind of statistical significance of when they were born. He was interested in seeing if these sports champions, these athletes, were born with Mars situated between the eastern horizon and the celestial meridian. Okay, that's supposed to indicate, apparently, that you're going to be aggressive and athletic. Okay, does that make any sense? Okay, no, it doesn't. But anyway, he found that there was some sort of significant statistical correspondence there that, you know, that was perhaps just a slight bit higher than what they might have expected. They were expecting somewhere around 17.17%, and what they actually found was 21.65%. Okay, wow. So, I mean, that's really not that exciting, if you ask me. It's a slight change. There's 4% difference, which could be completely due to just chance. And when this experiment was repeated, they were never able to get the same results. All right. So when they polled some more athletes, they were not able to find that same correlation. Okay. So basically this one time there was a slight higher statistical correlation between this Mars effect, and that is what they use as proof that astrology is accurate and can be depended on to help you in understanding people and predicting various things about their lives. And here's another one. This would be the Mayo White, Ascent study. All right, and they wanted to test how astrology could help determine whether people were introverts or extroverts. So they took 2,324 adults, had their introversion, extroversion scores tabulated, and then they correlated the results, okay, whether they were extroverts or introverts, with their astrological predictions. You know, what did their sun sign say that they were supposed to be like, right? You know, each one of you, have you guys ever read those? We'll look at that here a little later. Each various sun sign or zodiac sign, you're given this long, drawn-out reading of what you're supposed to be like. And it's nothing but compliments and making you feel good and tickling your ears. But anyway, they compare these results of these 2,324 adults and whether they were extroverts or introverts. They compare that to what their astrological predictions say that they were supposed to be, and apparently they got somewhat favorable results. So again, this is used to support the validity of astrology and its accuracy. Now, this test was repeated 5 additional times, which, hey, that's what you do in science. You test and you repeat. Okay, if it works once, it should work again, right? So they did it 5 more times, and they found that 3 out of the 5 did not support the original findings at all. All right, so now we have 3 that worked and 3 that didn't work. Huh. Guess that didn't work out too well. Another test that many astrologers like to point at is a National Enquirer test that involved 240 people, and they correlated them with their astrological sign and personality, and 91% of those 240 people tested claimed that their personality matched the zodiac sign. That's what the National Enquirer. That should be a pretty big mark against it right there. But as we're going to see later, we're going to read one of these zodiac sign profiles, and you're going to see just how vague they really are. And if you want to believe it about yourself, it's very easy to do because it's a lot of compliments and ear tickling matched up with a lot of vague sayings. And, well, hey, it sounds pretty good. Hey, that's me. That's totally me. And we'll look at that. So that's probably some of the best out there examples of tests that have been used to try and verify astrology. Tomorrow we're going to look at a bunch of profile tests that have been conducted looking at large number of people and matching them up with their sun signs and seeing just how much it really matched up. So that's what we'll look at tomorrow. I'm going to stop right there. Friends, if you'd like to chat, you can catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.